sa chléir se nniu be se géisiir le se has ná swinine ná Mirian Mirian a tanim ceart tanim croine le anim ná a bheit raí so sin coní a ceantar galanta dúú be ar de rahé agus tá ná a galse a go teana ar a tíl cruúé a bhuair si agus ag an náam gurí níos híon bhe sé hé ar a dhécrúfa tógur ar raimi agus cha sin na síl na coní agus a gopií ar a talú. Nan, your life is interesting and you even went on to compile a book, but I'd like you to start on your youth, Nan. You weren't born here in this very area. You were...
No.
No.
How did you know that?
Well, you mentioned it the last day. I thought was your home, but you
no,
said you married...
No, I was born in my mother's parish in Tuam and Letterimick Award because my mother was in poor health. When I was, I think it was the TB, when she was pregnant with me, and they lived in a townhouse. But the doctor that advised my father to get out into the country, and he bought a farm in the country, but the house wasn't built, there was no house on it, there was only just walls, ruins. And he got a stay of about 6 months in the house that he sold in Ardra, but the time was getting short and the other house wasn't finished, so my mother moved to Letterimick Award to her parents. She already had a toddler about 20 months I should think, and it was there that I was born, and I was christened in Letterimick Award church, and I had to stay there for about 3 months until the house was fully...
Was built,
yes,
finished.
Yes, was finished.
Right.
It was all slow motion that time, of course. And we came back then, but her health broke down or kept deteriorating. And an uncle and an aunt of mine... Now, that uncle would be the eldest of a family of 12, whereas my father would be the youngest of the family of 12. So they would be very old compared, like, with my natural parents. But they had one child, and she died shortly after she was born, the day after she was christened. And they took my sister and me then and looked after us until my father remarried a few years later, and then I stayed. And so I was a kind of alone.
Right.
She went back and... And there was a second family there.
Right, but what area was this house in?
The area that I was... the place my father bought for us where we were living, Tullybeg, and Kentucky, strangely enough, was the name of the place where I was reared. That's the house that I was reared in.
Yeah, I saw it the last day as well. Yeah.
And that was beside Ardra, just about... half a mile outside of Ardra. We had a few cows and a small farm, and we sold milk, and I knew every stick and stone in Ardra because I brought in, we used to go in with the milk.
So you were selling milk?
Yes. Excuse me. Yeah, we sold milk, and I used to go in, and you'd have two cans in each hand and deliver it after school time mostly. So.
But life was hard, Nan, but then you didn't think it was, like.
No.
You lived on the land in every sense.
Yes,
you know,
done everything could be done. The just two jobs I didn't do. I never actually cut turf with a slam. I didn't cut turf, and the second one I didn't mow. But I did mow rushes now.
Right.
I would mow tufts of rushes. But I done everything else. I done thatching. And I carted home turf. We had a donkey and cart, and I carted home turf. You see, this uncle, as I said, was that much older, and his health broke down when I was an early teenager. And then... Actually, I had to leave school before I was 14 because we had a granduncle who came to live with us when he was 98. and he died when he was 101. We had him in there.
He got some age, he got some...
Yes, he did, and there was no word that time about it. There was no celebrations or no... Well, of course, we didn't have a president then. There was no president in Ireland then. I had the other man then, my uncle, his health wasn't great, so I had a lot of heavy work to do. Yes, I was. But my aunt now that reared me, I call her Mammy, they were Mammy and Daddy to me, but she came from Churchill, she came from a hard working area. You know, that's beyond, you know where Churchill,
I know Churchill.
But she came from there and she was as good as any man. And of course, I went with her, and what she was doing, I done.
You did the same.
Whatever burden she carried on her back, I did, and I carried a lot of heavy burdens. And thank God, I have a far better back today than any of my daughters. None of them have as good a back. They all complain about their back. And another thing, I carried a lot of burdens high, and burdens of sheaves of corn. And turf in the bog. We used to go to the bog and you had to carry the turf.
It was all work, really.
It was all work, yeah. Well, that was during that season then. You see, you had the long winter then, and neighbours came in. It was mostly men now that came to our house, oldish men.
And was your house for raking? And
They used to come in, and we would have different... one night somebody would pick up the fairies and tell their stories about the fairies, and others then about these charms, you know, the witches, these women that could go out on May morning and they lick the grass, and then they could get all the milk. They would have loads of butter, and other people would have no butter on their churn.
But it was so, and there was such a thing, wasn't
well,
it?
Well, that was it now.
Yeah.
And there's a story, there's a woman. She lived not far from here altogether. She was gone long before my time, but my father-in-law remembered her clearly. And she was lame. She was lame when he got to know her now. That's my father-in-law, would be 150 if he was living now, maybe more. And they were making out that she used to do this on the May morning, and she could turn herself into a hare. And somebody watched for her, saw this hare, and they fired a shot. And it hit her in the leg, and she came home lame. That was the story was told. She was shot.
I've heard such, like,
yes.
I've heard such
yes.
as that, you know.
And I heard another one too about way up on some mountain where a man, and it was a man now, I don't know what he was up to, but he got shot way up in some of them mountains, and he was lame for the rest. But he must have turned into a hare, I don't know. But there would be a night then that the rakers, we called them rakers. In some parts of the country they call them making a ceilidh, but here it was all called rakers.
Rakers, yeah, I thought it would.
Yeah, and that would be then another night it would be ghosts. Everybody beating out the other on the ghost stories.
Telling the ghost stories, yeah.
And, well, they always ended up, but the one they never could get an end to was religion. The religion came into it. The beginning of time, the Adam and Eve, and how, where did the two sons, and there were no women, and that they could never, that's one could have went on since, and would have known it. So that was it, and then the rakers got a bowl of tea. We always had porridge. Now we, and around this part of the country, porridge for breakfast wasn't a thing. It was way down the line now, where my aunt came from, they would have porridge for breakfast, but around here now everybody had tea for breakfast. Porridge was for supper.
And I was going to say I thought you'd have porridge sometime, but like
it was always supper.
Right.
We called it supper anyhow. That's the pot mine was cooked in.
Same pot?
Yes, that's the same pot. That pot.
Sheenie Mac, that one's ancient. She's heavy too.
Yes, it is. So every night at 8 o'clock, but on Sunday night or special nights if there was anything on, we would have rice, boiled rice in that pot instead. Rice.
But it was all work to routine.
And then when we would be getting the porridge, My aunt, bowls, it was all bowls, there were no cups or mugs, there were no mugs going. And you wouldn't give a country man a cup, he wouldn't know what to do with it. And bowls of tea, there were bowls of tea and a big slice of homemade bread, homemade
yeah.
butter, and that's what they got when we were having our porridge. Now, a lot of other neighbours of ours, where there'd be big families, and probably not, we might have been with only one in the house, we probably weren't that poor. But where there was, they would have potatoes. The pot put on for the dinner, had a pot of spuds for the dinner, and then they put on another big pot, and that was for the supper, and what was left was for the hens in the morning, for the fowl, whatever.
So you had the potatoes twice a day?
Oh, they would have potatoes twice now, and I know a family, in fact, I'm kind of connected to them now, but there were 12 in the family. And they had them three times. They had them in the morning before they went to school, and they had them when they came home from school, and
their,
had them.
Their diet was potatoes.
Yeah.
You mentioned school earlier, Nan. Tell me about what it was like at school, Nan. Which school did you go to?
Well, I went to a small school, Tullymore School, one teacher, and I'd safely say that the area would be nothing bigger. I thought it was huge. And when I would be caught, I couldn't know how the teacher way, way up there could hear me.
Laughing,
and so
yeah.
the teacher was beside us. It was only when I when I went into the ruins of the school again and saw the size of it. It
was small room, really.
Small
yeah.
room. Why is that at all?
You were small and you thought the
yes,
room was
Yes, I thought
huge.
It was huge beside, you know. So, well, we went to school, we carried, in the early years when I went first, we carried turf, two turf with us, and for keeping the fires going. And then later years, they started, the father of the different families would bring a cart of turf and leave them there. They got a shed built for the turf. There was no shed there when I went. And another thing that they got while I was there was the outdoor toilets. Just two toilets and two seats, one for the girls and one for the boys, and two buckets in them. And you went in there and you'd done whatever you had to do. And on Friday, the big boys, the senior boys, there were a river close. It was a kind of a small, they called it Dairy River, but it was really...